vocabulary. Division.
Loom.
Positive. Optimistic. Technological. Access. Potential. Billion. Planet. Powerful. Combat. Poverty. Enormous. Colonial. Prejudice. Investment. Invasion. Foundation. Harbor. Finance. Corporation. Info. Sovereignty. Infrastructure.
Passage. A great deal of attention is being paid today to the so-called digital divide, the division of the world into information rich and the info poor. And that divide does not exist today. My wife and I lectured about this looming danger 20 years ago. What was less visible then, however, were the new positive forces that work against the digital divide. There are reasons to be optimistic. There are technological reasons to hope the digital divide will narrow. As the internet becomes more and more commercialized, it is in the interest of business to universalize access. After all, the more people online, the more potential customers there are. More and more governments, afraid their countries will be left behind, want to spread internet access. Within the next decade or two, 1 to 2 billion people on the planet will be netted together. As a result, I now believe the digital divide will narrow rather than widen in the years ahead. And that is very good news, because the internet may well be the most powerful tool for combating world poverty that we've ever had. Of course, the use of internet isn't the only way to defeat poverty, and the internet is not the only tool we have, but it has enormous potential. To take advantage of this tool, some impoverished countries will have to get over their outdated anti-colonial prejudices with respect to foreign investment. Countries that still think foreign investment is an invasion of their sovereignty might well study the history of infrastructure, the basic structural foundations of a society in the United States. When the United States built its industrial infrastructure, it did not have the capital to do so. And that is why America's second wave infrastructure, including roads, harbors, highways, ports, and so on, were built with foreign investment. The English, the Germans, the Dutch, and the French were investing in Britain's former colony. They financed them. Immigrant Americans built them. Guess who owns them now? The Americans. I believe the same thing would be true in places like Brazil or anywhere else for that matter. The more foreign capital you have helping you build your third wave infrastructure, which today is an electronic infrastructure, the better off you're going to be. That doesn't mean lying down and becoming fooled, or letting foreign corporations run uncontrolled. But it does mean recognizing how important they can be in building the energy and telecom infrastructures needed to take full advantage of the internet. Vocabulary. Error.
Scratch.
Plug. Conventional.
Structure.
Alien. Survey. Random. Stock.
Volunteer.
Elite. Reflect. Astonish. Clash. Explosive. Employee. Attitude. Annoy.
Customer.
Symposium. Dedicate. Flee. Complain. Differ. Backbone. Diversity. Passage.
Why do so many Americans distrust what they read in their newspapers? The American Society of Newspaper Editors is trying to answer this painful question. The organization is deep into a long self-analysis known as the Journalism Credibility Report. Sad to say, this project has turned out to be mostly low-level findings about factual errors and spelling and grammar mistakes, combined with lots of head-scratching puzzlement about what in the world those readers really want. But the sources of distrust go way deeper. Most journalists learn to see the world through a set of standard templates into which they plug each day's events. In other words, there is a conventional storyline in the newsroom culture that provides a backbone and a ready-made narrative structure for otherwise confusing news. There exists a social and cultural disconnection between journalists and their readers, which helps explain why the standard templates of the newsroom seem alien to many readers. In a recent survey, questionnaires were sent to reporters in 5 middle-sized cities around the country, plus 1 large metropolitan area. Then residents in these communities were phoned at random and asked the same questions. Replies show that compared with other Americans, journalists are more likely to live in an upscale neighborhoods, have maids, own Mercedes, and trade stocks, and they're less likely to go to church, do volunteer work, or put down roots in a community. Reporters tend to be part of a broadly defined social and cultural elite, so their work tends to reflect the conventional values of this elite. The astonishing distrust of the news media isn't rooted in inaccuracy or poor reportorial skills, but in the daily clash of worldviews between reporters and their readers. This is an explosive situation for an industry, particularly a declining one. Here is a troubled business that keeps hiring employees whose attitudes vastly annoy the customers. Then it sponsors lots of simplicisms and a credibility project dedicated to wondering why customers are annoyed and fleeing in large numbers. But it never seems to get around to noticing the cultural and class biases that so many former buyers are complaining about. If it did, it would open up its diversity program, now focused narrowly on race and gender, and look for reporters who differ broadly by outlook, values, education, and class. Lesson 9, vocabulary. Process, emerge, affiliate, segment, reform, phenomenon, create,
national,
stability, economy, massive, barrier, enlarge, capable, beneficial, productivity, scanty, reduction, pace, contrary, supervise, regulate, resort, gigantic, issue, merger, hyperactive, multinational, detrimental.
Passage. The world is going through the biggest wave of mergers and acquisitions ever witnessed. The process sweeps from hyperactive America to Europe and reaches the emerging countries with unsurpassed might. Many in these countries are looking at this process and worrying. Won't the wave of business concentration turn into an uncontrollable anti-competitive force? There's no question that the big are getting bigger and more powerful. Multinational corporations accounted for less than 20% of international trade in 1982. Today, the figure is more than 25% and growing rapidly. International affiliates account for a fast-growing segment of production in economies that open up and welcome foreign investment. In Argentina, for instance, after the reforms of the early 1990s, multinationals went from 43% to almost 70% of the industrial production of the 200 largest firms. This phenomenon has created serious concerns over the role of smaller economic firms, of national businessmen, and over the ultimate stability of the world. I believe that the most important forces behind the massive M&A wave are the same that underlie the globalization process: falling transportation and communication costs, lower trade and investment barriers, and enlarged markets that require enlarged operations capable of meeting customers' demands. All of these are beneficial, not detrimental, to consumers. As productivity grows, the world's wealth increases. Examples of benefits or costs of the current concentration wave are scanty. Yet it is hard to imagine that the merger of a few oil firms today could recreate the same threats to competition that were feared nearly a century ago in the U.S. when the Standard Oil Trust was broken up. The mergers of telecom companies such as WorldCom hardly seem to bring higher prices for consumers or a reduction in the pace of technical progress. On the contrary, the price of communications is coming down fast. In cars, too, concentration is increasing. Witness Daimler and Chrysler, Renault and Nissan. But it does not appear that consumers are being hurt. Yet, the fact remains that the merger movement must be watched. A few weeks ago, Alan Greenspan warned against the mega-mergers in the banking industry. Who is going to supervise, regulate, and operate as lender of last resort with gigantic banks that are being created? Won't multinationals shift production from one place to another when a nation gets too strict about infringement to fair competition? And should one country take upon itself the role of defending competition on issues that affect many other nations, as in the U.S. versus Microsoft case? Vocabulary. Lateral. Block. Profile. Career. Disgrace. Novel. Transform. Philosophy. Preach. Resignation. Abandon. Doctrine. Reward. Financial. Pressure. Deadline. Limitation. Simplify. Cling. equivalent, economic, acquaintance, urge, organic, recognition, passionate, editorship, ironically, passage.
When I decided to quit my full-time employment, it never occurred to me that I might become a part of a new international trend, a lateral move that hurt my pride and blocked my professional progress. Prompted me to abandon my relatively high-profile career, although, in the manner of disgraced government minister, I covered my exit by claiming I wanted to spend more time with my family. Curiously, some 2.5 years and 2 novels later, my experiment in what the Americans term downshifting has turned my tired excuse into an absolute reality. I have been transformed from a passionate advocate of the philosophy of having it all, preached by Linda Kelsley for the past 7 years in the page of She magazine, into a woman who is happy to settle for a bit of everything. I have discovered, as perhaps Kelsey will after her much publicized resignation from the editorship of She after a buildup of stress, that abandoning the doctrine of juggling your life and making the alternative move into downshifting brings with it far greater rewards than financial success and social status. Nothing could persuade me to return to the kind of life Kelsey used to advocate and I once enjoyed. 12-hour working days, pressured deadlines, the fearful strain of office politics, and the limitations of being a parent on quality time. In America, the move away from juggling to a simpler, less materialistic lifestyle is a well-established trend. Downshifting, also known in America as voluntary simplicity, has ironically even bred a new area of what might be termed anti-consumerism. There are a number of best-selling downshifting self-help books for people who want to simplify their lives. There are newsletters, such as the Tightwad Gazette, that give hundreds of thousands of Americans useful tips on anything from recycling their cling film to making their own soap. There are even support groups for those who want to achieve the mid-90s equivalent of dropping out. While in America, the trend started as a reaction to the economic after the mass redundancies caused by downsizing in the late 80s, and is still linked to the politics of thrift in Britain. At least among the middle-class downshifters of my acquaintance, we have different reasons for seeking to simplify our lives. For the women of my generation who were urged to keep juggling through the 80s, downshifting in the mid-90s is not so much a search for the mythical good life. Growing your own organic vegetables and risking turning into one as a personal recognition of your limitations. Lesson 10. Vocabulary. Reality. Link. Nervous. System. Virtual, recall, pollution, disable, offend, equip, chip, schedule, accelerate, unique, calendar, artificial, organ, simulate, social, synthetic, distinguish, appliance, psychological, disorder, rage, holodeck, futurologist, millennium, expectancy, integration, druid,
passage. In less than 30 years' time, the Star Trek holodeck will be a reality. Direct links between the brain's nervous system and a computer will also create full-sensory virtual environments, allowing virtual vacations like those in the film Total Recall. there will be television chat shows hosted by robots and cars with pollution monitors that will disable them when they offend. Children will play with dolls equipped with personality chips. Computers with inbuilt personalities will be regarded as workmates rather than tools. Relaxation will be in front of small television, and digital age will have arrived. According to BT's futurologist, Ian Pearson, these are among the developments scheduled for the first few decades of the new millennium, a period of 1,000 years, when supercomputers will dramatically accelerate progress in all areas of life. Pearson has pieced together the work of hundreds of researchers around the world to produce a unique millennium technology calendar that gives the latest dates when we can expect hundreds of key breakthroughs and discoveries to take place. Some of the biggest developments will be in medicine, including an extended life expectancy, and dozens of artificial organs coming into use between now and 2040. Pearson also predicts a breakthrough in computer-human links. By linking directly to our nervous system, computers could pick up what we feel and hopefully simulate feeling too, so that we can start to develop full sensory environments, rather like the holodays in Total Recall, or the Star Trek holodeck, he says. But that, Pearson points out, is only the start of man-machine integration. It will be the beginning of the long process of integration that will ultimately lead to a fully electronic human before the end of the next century. Through his research, Pearson is able to put dates to most of the breakthroughs that can be predicted. However, there are still no forecasts for when faster-than-light travel will be available, or when human cloning will be perfected, or when time travel will be possible. But he does expect social problems as a result of technological advances. A boom in neighborhood surveillance cameras will, for example, cause problems in 2010, when the arrival of synthetic lifelike robots will mean people may not be able to distinguish between their human friends and the droids. And home appliances will also become so smart that controlling and operating them will result in the breakdown of a new psychological disorder. Kitchen rage. Vocabulary. Handicap. Glow. Competitor. Scale. Prosperous. Inevitable. Retreat. Electronics. Vanish. Textile. Domestic. Rope. Semiconductor. Invent. Crisis. Confidence. Prosperity. Grant. Inquiry. Industrial. Sensation. Attribute. Yield. Diet. Wit. Executive. Institute. Unparalleled. Inevitably. Passage.
A history of long and effortless success can be a dreadful handicap, but if properly handled, it may become a driving force. When the United States entered just such a growing period after the end of the Second World War, it had a market 8 times larger than any competitor, giving its industrial, unparalleled economies of scale. Its scientists were the world's best, its workers the most skilled. America and Americans were prosperous beyond the dreams of the Europeans and Asians whose economies the war had destroyed. It was inevitable that this primacy should have narrowed as other countries grew richer, just as inevitably the retreat from predominance proved painful. By the mid-1980s, Americans had found themselves at a loss over their fading industrial competitiveness. Some huge American industries, such as consumer electronics, had shrunk or vanished in the face of foreign competition. By 1987, there was only one American television maker left, Zenith. Now there is none. Zenith was bought by South Korea's LG Electronics in July. Foreign-made cars and textiles were sweeping into the domestic market. America's machine tool industry was on the ropes. For a while, it looked as though the making of semiconductors, which America had invented and which sat at the heart of the new computer age, was going to be the next casualty. All of this caused a crisis of confidence. Americans stopped taking prosperity for granted. They began to believe that their way of doing business was failing, and that their incomes would therefore shortly begin to fall as well. The mid-1980s brought one inquiry after another into the cause of America's industrial decline. Their sometimes sensational findings were filled with warnings about the growing competition from overseas. How things have changed. In 1995, the United States can look back on 5 years of solid growth, while Japan has been struggling. Few Americans attribute this solely to such obvious causes as devalued dollar or the turning of a business cycle. Self-doubt has yielded to blind pride. American industry has changed its structure, has gone on a diet, has learned to be more quick-witted, according to Richard Cavanaugh, executive dean of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. It makes me proud to be an American just to see how our businesses are improving their productivity, says Stephen Moore of the Cato Institute, a think tank in Washington, D.C. And William Solomon of the Harvard Business School believes that people will look back on this period as a golden age of business management in the United States. Lesson 11, Vocabulary, Ratio, Balance, Universal, Survive, Means, Excess, Selection, Variation, Agent, Commit, Suicide, Fertile, Offspring, Opportunity, Advantage, diminish, grand, survival, tribe, transform, evolve, ignorant, organic, savage, comprehension, descendant, maturity,
mediocrity.